All right, we read last time now, once again. There must be first the effort towards at least an initial and enabling self-transcendence and contact with the divine. Next, the reception of that which transcends, that with which we have gained communion into ourselves for the transformation of our whole conscious being. Last, the utilization of our transformed humanity as a divine center in the world. Now Sri Aurobindo analyzes exact role of effort on all the three stages. So long as the contact with the divine is not in some considerable degree established, so long as there is not some measure of sustained identity, sayujya, the element of personal effort must normally predominate. It's a long process, and during that period, personal effort must predominate. There must be a constant effort on our side, vigilance. But in proportion as this contact establishes itself, the sadhaka must become conscious that a force other than his own, a force transcending his egoistic endeavor and capacity, is at work in him. And to this power, he learns progressively to submit himself and delivers up to it the charge of his yoga. The more and more you are in contact with the divine, during your conversations you always say to the divine, please take charge of my yoga. You learn that actually he is doing everything, so you admit, submit and accept it and give the charge of your yoga in his hands. And when he enters into the yoga, then your personal effort diminishes. He is not very much needed. Provided this has happened, let us not delude ourselves that now divine has taken charge of my yoga. We should examine ourselves again and again and again. Has he really taken the charge? Till that time, unless you are sure, divine himself tells you, look, now don't worry, I have taken charge of you. Then your effort diminishes more and more. In the end, his own will and force become one with the higher power. He merges them in the divine will and is transcendent and universal force. He finds it thenceforward presiding over the necessary transformation of his mental, vital and physical being with an impartial wisdom and provident effectivity of which the eager and interested ego is not capable. It is when this identification and this self-merging are complete that the divine center in the world is ready, purified, liberated, plastic, illumined. It can begin to serve as a means for the direct action of a supreme power in the larger yoga of humanity or superhumanity, of the earth's spiritual progression or its transformation. There is a beautiful word in the Gita, muktasya karma. It's a Sanskrit phrase. Action of the liberated. Karma means action. Siya means off. And mukta is liberated. Action of the liberated. He is therefore described by Sri Aurobindo as purified, liberated, plastic element. Four important words. This is the mark of the liberated man. He is purified. He is liberated. He is plastic. He is illumined. During the process of yoga, we have to try to attain to these four qualities: purification, liberation, plasticity, illumination. There are numerous stages of this purification and liberation and plasticity and illumination. We have to keep this goal before us. Only then we really begin to do what is called divine's work. There is among us a wrong use of this word. We often tell ourselves and the world, we are doing divine's work. Be careful in using this word. It's not an accurate term when we speak. To be able to do divine's work, you must have these four qualities: purification, liberation, plasticity, illumination. Till that time you have no authority to say, I am doing divine's work. If you say so, it is a false statement. Very often we say, I am doing mother's work. Actually, one disciple wrote to the mother, saying, Mother, I want to do mother's work. So mother said, that will take a long time. To do really mother's work is a long, long process. You have to read this point. Before that, you must do work for the divine. There's a difference between doing divine's work and to do work for the divine. When you do the work for the divine, you are in the first stage. From here, you are offering to the divine. It's only the first stage. You are attempting to go into self-transcendence, to contact and identify with the divine. Then comes the process, second process, of receiving the self into ourselves, into our body, life and mind, to transform them. When this is accomplished, then you can now be entitled, qualified to say, I am now doing divine's work. Muktasya karma, you become liberated. You are no more subject to passions. That is one important mark. You are no more subject to passions. The word passion is a very important word. To be passionate or to be under passion is to be passive. Something is overpowering you. So much overpowering you that you are passive to it. You are like a slave to it. To be a slave to a feeling, to an emotion, so you cannot resist it at all. You are so passive to it that you allow it to manifest to you. You are bound to it. So long as passions work through you as passions when you are passive, you are bound, you are a slave. You are not liberated. To be liberated is to have no overpowering influence over you of passions. It's a mark of being bound. It's a bondage. You are not free yet. So when you are purified, liberated, plastic, illumined, then you begin to serve as a means for the direct action of a supreme power in the larger yoga of humanity or superhumanity. You really become a contributor. You are then the messenger of God, the prophet of God, the son of God. Then you can work in humanity as a free being, unbound by any bonds. And then you contribute to the spiritual progression of humanity. So this is the paragraph which we had done last time. And I have just revised it because I felt it is a very important paragraph. In a sense, we might say the whole integral yoga is summarized in one paragraph here. If you just, pardon?
What does provident effectivity mean? Provident effectivity.
Oh, good you asked this question. With an impartial wisdom and provident effectivity. You know, when you are working upon yourself egoistically, when you make an effort egoistically, you are partial to yourself. You are favorable to yourself. You justify yourself. You are not able to see your own defects. But when the divine works in you, then divine himself tells you, here you are wrong, and you are able to admit, here I am wrong. You look at yourself as if you are like a scientist looking through a microscope. You are no more trying to hide this corner of your being or that corner of your being. You are no more trying to justify this or justify that. You don't have any kind of excuses. It is very sharp, very powerful. You allow the divine himself works on you with four powers of the mother.